All right, our scripture lesson today is going to be exciting because I'm going to break rules. Open your Bibles to Luke 9, and Luke 18. We're going to have a little fun today. We're going to start with Luke chapter 9, verses 21 and 22 with a sermon titled Preparations. I'm going to give you a moment. Because then we're going to move into Luke 9 again, and then we're going to go into Luke 18. So get your Bibles open. We'll start Luke 9, chapter 21. I'm sorry, Luke 9, verse 21. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Luke chapter 9, verse 43. While everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did, he said to his disciples, listen carefully to what I am about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. But they did not understand what this meant. It was hidden from them, so they did not grasp it. And they were afraid to ask him about it. And then to Luke chapter 18, verse 31. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, we are going up to Jerusalem. And everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them. And they did not know what he was talking about. May God add his blessings to these words as we seek him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would hear us today. That as we cry out to you, we're looking for these words to strengthen us, to remind us, to prepare us. Father, we need it so badly. Let these words that are not mine be whole and filling to all of us here, that we may speak of them in the week to come, and these words that will be spoken will also be fulfilling. For there are many out there that need to know the love of Jesus Christ and the salvation that his death brought. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of his children said, Amen. Now, how many of you like to just blunder into a project? Yes, I know you do. You do. My wife does. Jimmy, yeah, go ahead, put your hands up. This is a safe space. I won't make fun of you. How many people like to take a moment and read the instructions? Put your hand down, woman. You're lying in church. You're a preacher's wife. What is wrong with you? We went to that class last night. Actually, we went to Tote Bingo, and I won a little pink bag that said, love is all around, with a big pink heart on it. I felt so manly. I gave it away. I traded it, got a more manly bag. My wife took that from me. Now, let me tell you a story. We recently, after being married now for almost 18 years, 19. Got it. Yeah, that's right. This is 2019. After being married for almost 19 years, my wife, who I love all the time and I like most of the time, sat me down and said, "All right, mister, we have come to a point. We have done our savings. We have behaved ourselves. We are at a point now. I want a brand new clothes washer and dryer." Now, to most of you, that don't sound like a big deal. But you see, I'm a little tight. A lot. Except when it comes to certain things. And I've bought, thrown away clothes washers and patched them up and fixed them all of our life. If I could find one for $25 that needed a part, I'd buy it, patch the thing up. It was scratched, it was dented, it washed clothes. What's it matter? Don't look at me like that, women. I'm getting to a point. And dryers, I had them give to me. I'll fix them up, keep them going. I could fix them all day long. The transmission went out of the clothes washer last year. I went and found a transmission in another clothes washer, pulled it out, came home, put it back together. I am the man. My wife said, "That's it." And so we got a brand new clothes washer and a brand new clothes dryer. And I think she set me up, because when we went to the store where they have about 10,000 of them in a line, she walked right to the one she wanted. I'm not the smartest man in the world. But we got one. And the moral of the story is, we got a brand new clothes washer. And when we finally decided to run it for the first time, I wanted to be home to make sure everything was fine. And it came with a set of books. And it came with some instructions. And I've already told you the story that when we went downstairs, I read the book and I went downstairs and couldn't get it to go. And Wally said, "Well, it's not plugged in, Dad." But do you know the thing was actually broken? So we have another one now. And we read the instructions as husband and wife together. And the dryer instructions. Because I'm a big instructions reader. I don't care what you give me. I've got a watch. It's got a book this thick, about that big. I had to get a magnifying glass. I've read the instructions. You know what it said? Watches are used to tell time. Figure it out. But that's the state of us at times. All of us have just decided we're going to blunder into something. I don't like to go shopping with my sons at Lowe's, because suddenly a project that they've been thinking about, they want to buy everything in the store for the project. And they have no idea what they need. Meanwhile, I'm walking around with a list, and I know what I want, and I'm shopping because Lowe's is the place where men shop, either that or Tractor Supply, or Farm and Home, or Southern States, or just about anywhere that doesn't sell pocketbooks. But my boys like to just blunder along, and a lot of people do, and I've done it before, and it's always come back to make you mad because you didn't prepare. I know women that bake. Some of them are real good at making blueberry pie. And I know that when they get, my mother is the baconest baker on the face of this planet. And she's got a box where she pulls out recipes that she has baked 1,000 times and lays the recipe down and still uses it. That's called preparation. That's called being prepared. That's called listening. Because you don't ever want to put something together without knowing. And we're told that we need to be prepared. We don't listen. Today is a sermon of not listening and how we need to for us to listen and make preparations. The Boy Scout motto is what? Be prepared. Now, I was a Boy Scout. I remember that. Were you 2-1, Jimmy? Did you make Eagle?
Yes, I did.
You were an Eagle Scout? Wow. Anybody else in here a Boy Scout?
You were.
Pat, were you a Boy Scout? Did you make Eagle Scout? No, you just went on your own way. But it's be prepared. Several centuries ago, a Japanese emperor commissioned an artist to paint a bird. A bird. A number of months passed, and then several years, and still no painting was brought to the palace. Finally, the emperor became so exasperated that he went to the artist's home to demand an explanation. Instead of making excuses, the artist put a blank canvas on the easel. And in less than an hour, he painted a painting of a bird that was so brilliant, it hung right in the front of the palace as a masterpiece. When the emperor asked the reason for the delay, the artist laid down armloads of drawings of feathers, wings, heads, and feet. And he explained all of this research and study had been necessary before he could paint the bird. I want to be real clear on something before we take another step forward. I told you we're going to fly around through the Bible some today. You can catch up to me or not, but I'm going over to Matthew 24, and I need to be real crystal clear on something. I want you to listen to these words. No one knows about the day or hour. Matthew 24, chapter 24, verse 35. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood took it all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other will be left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Let me make sure I am crystal clear on something. And I don't know that I always am. On May 21st, 2011, Harold Camping had predicted the end of the world. Does anybody remember back that far? Anybody remember that? We all laugh when somebody said the world is going to end. I got two boys who think the world is going to end whenever they don't get what they want. But Dad, I got to have this or else. Or else, as teenage speak, for the world will end without it. If you have daughters, oh boy. But Harold Camping had predicted the end of the earth. And I remember it was quite the big hubbub. There was all these indicators. And you know, since Harold Camping, there have been 9 more predictions that you probably didn't even read about. But Harold Camping predicted on May the 21st, 2011, the world would end. That was it. And he had all these multipliers and factors, and he had laid everything out. And I laughed about it. Because I always laugh about that. Because nobody knows. I just read that. But. I was on my way home from work to the baseball game where my whole family would be. My dad, my mom, my brother, my sister, all the kids. May 21st, for some reason, the stars had aligned and all of us family would be there to watch Buck play a baseball game. And I was on my way home from, of all places, hauling grit at that time. And as I drove along Route 64 there, coming over toward Smithsburg so I could go home, I took notice of a rather strange cloud formation in the sky that seemed to run just in front of me. I've never talked about this before, and I became shaken. I became scared. I started thinking, what if? You ever thought about that? Have you ever thought for a moment, what if, are you ready? Have you made the preparations that you have been warned to make? I'm driving in the car on the way home, and I'm thinking, I am on my way to be with all of my family. And this cloud formation was strange looking. And I started driving a little faster because I wanted to get to him. I started thinking, what if this is the day? What if I'm about to hear that trumpet? Paul Leatherman, you're the preacher at Long Meadow Church of the Brethren. You've done some pretty rough things, and at times you can still be a pretty rough person. You are a sinner. You will never be fixed until the day comes you cross into heaven. That's our lot in life. And the more I thought about it, the quicker I drove, because I wanted to be there at that moment. Have you thought about it? Paint the picture in your mind for a moment. That one day, that sound is coming. We'll hear it, and we'll be gone. But there are those of you who will not. Hopefully nobody in this church, if I've done my job right. But there will be a lot of destruction. And there will be those who thought they were ready and weren't. So I want it to be real clear that I truly believe, I don't know when, could be tomorrow, it could happen right now. It could happen at any minute, that we're going to be taken away from this earth to heaven. Those of us who believe in the blood on that cross. Those of us that play around with it are not. Jesus Christ in these scriptures is letting the disciples know, be prepared. I was worried. You know, some time ago, before I decided to take up the mantle of pastor, my father gave Wendy and I the Left Behind series. And I loved it. Read the books, listened to the tapes. I enjoyed it thoroughly. And then we saw the movie, Left Behind, the movie. Anybody remember when that movie came out? We ought to show that again sometime. Left Behind, the movie. And there is that scene, baby, when it all happens. And the pastor of the church is standing in his pulpit while his parishioners are gone. And he falls forward broken. Pretty scary thought. In my briefcase back there, Mike Dow gave me a little packet, and I love it. I'm sorry, Mike, you're not getting it back. I keep it right there in my briefcase called a rapid deployment kit. It's all about salvation. Go back here and get it out of my briefcase. You'll see it. It says rapid deployment kit right on it. I want you to understand that I firmly believe that one day we're going away from here because we have professed our love in Jesus Christ, but we need to be prepared. Not just for ourselves, but for those around us. And that's what Jesus Christ is talking about over three scriptures where he predicts his death over and over again. You need to be prepared, and you need to prepare those around you. And you need to take a good look at yourself. Look at that, boy. Rapid deployment kit. Mike said y'all made these when you was teenagers, right? Look in here, man. This thing is awesome, and no, you cannot have it. Maybe the youth need to start making it. It's got little books in here and little sayings. Dear friend, going far away to an unfamiliar place. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's got the New Testament right here. As a matter of fact, you know what I'll do today, because I love you all? I'll let you look at it. Just kind of pass it around and have a peep at it. Don't spend a lot of time with it. Pay attention to me because I'm preaching. But we need to be prepared. And that's what the scripture is saying. That's what Jesus Christ, in essence, is saying. Be prepared. And I'm not just talking about be prepared to be taken away. Be prepared to have your life looked at. be prepared to speak openly about Jesus Christ. Be prepared for the hypocrites to come after you because you have made that profession and yet you still continue to live and you'll be a sinner, but be prepared. I'm giving you the preparations. Listen to me. Go back to the scriptures. Start in the very first one, Luke chapter 9. Luke, the gospel writer, starts it off at verse 21. Jesus strictly warned. He warned them not to tell anyone. If you back up a little bit, it's because of the fact that he has just claimed to be the Messiah. Now, people would say, why don't you want to say anything yet? It's not time. But he's warning them that the Son of Man is about to suffer and be prepared for it. That he's got to go through a lot of stuff and be killed, but he will come back up again in 3 days. Next part of Luke chapter 9. Excuse me. While everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did, he said to his disciples, listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. And he explains it again. Preparing them. Why? Because if you go all the way over to Luke 18, this ties it all together. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, we are going up to Jerusalem. Do you understand what he just said? Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, his triumphal entry to his death. He is preparing them. He is telling them, we're going to Jerusalem and I am going to die. Listen to the words I say and be prepared to talk them, to lead them, to say them. Are you prepared? Look at me. Are you? Anybody want to know what preparation looks like? I have an amazing example. I'd like to ask Adrian, Israel, Pap, Miss Mart, Jean, and Jimmy to join me up front, please. Be afraid to get close to each other. You're all fine. Now, as I hand these to you, do not look at them. I said Pat, not Pat.
I thought you said Pat. I wasn't sure.
That's all right. All right, do not look at them yet. Just hold them down. Don't look. Do not look at them. Otherwise, I'm going to kick you out.
Don't look at me like
that. Don't look at
you.
Don't look at them. Do not look at them yet. I have a little surprise for you. Here you go, Miss Mark. Don't look at yours yet. Don't look at yours yet, Pat. All right, now. Now you may all look at them. Did everybody get their head? Well, I messed that up. This is the smallest example of being prepared. By making a proclamation, we belong to the family. I'm not talking about Long Meadow Church, the brother. I'm talking about the family of Christ, to the family of God. This seemingly small step is larger than you can imagine. And we welcome you in. You know, there's a whole long pageant and protocol, but why? Church family? Family. New family? Church family. Everybody say hello to each other. That's how it works. This is an example of preparations. Thank you all. God bless you. May sit down. Those six people that just stood up here made an example of themselves by saying simply, I believe in Jesus Christ. It may seem significant, but this is what it is. Anyone who has walked in that water or made proclamation has stood up and said, I believe. And I want to be there. Jesus Christ is telling us to be prepared. We're just weeks away from Easter Sunday. And everybody's getting prepared for it. I've already heard. I'm going to buy a new outfit. Because it's Easter Sunday and I want to look so pretty. And Paul, yes, dear, you're going to get that shaggy mane cut. And I have to remind her that Jesus had long hair. Look what happened when Samson got his cut. Boy was talking to his father one time. He said, Dad, I need to borrow your car Friday night. The father said, you need to cut your hair. And the boy looked at the father and said, well, Dad, we go to church, right? Yes, we do. We believe in the Lord. Yes, we do. He said, well, Dad, Jesus had long hair. And the father said, yes, he did. And he walked everywhere he went. We're starting to get excited because Easter's coming. And it is a big deal. It's a big deal in the Christian heart. It is not about candy. It is not about hiding eggs. It is about the resurrection and the preparations that come in front of it. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be looking at what preparations we have in place. Do you know what this is? Just the New Testament. Does anybody know what it is? It's the preparations. From the first line in Matthew to the last line in Revelations. It's the preparations. It's how, what, where, why, and ultimately when. All of the words in here. You can pick any spot you want in the Bible, in the New Testament. You can pick any spot you want and start reading and see the same thing. Over and over again. Be prepared. I am coming back soon. And so we need to be. And we need to be prepared for those around us who seek this word. I've given you a little bit of a homework assignment for the next 2 weeks, and I mean it. I want you to do it. I don't care who, how, what, where, when. I want you to call these people or send them a card. Because there are times when the word starts to get stuck. And that encouragement comes along. I get encouragement from the funniest places. I'll tell you where it came from last night. My nephew was sitting across from me while we were at Tote Bag Bingo. And he, without warning, he looks at me and goes, hey, Uncle Paul. I said, what? He goes, I was listening to your sermon the other night. Which one? He said, Squeaky Hinges. He said, I loved it. He said, that was a great sermon. You know why? Because Greg puts it on the internet. Because the sermons are there. And you have no idea when, where, or what. But you have to have your preparations in place because it's going to come back. And people are listening. There is a report out there that people want to hear the word of Christ. They want to hear this encouragement. They want to hear you say, I'm praying for you. I love you. Regardless, there is a study that was done amongst teenage prostitutes. What led them to that lifestyle? And the answer was simple across the board. Because nobody listened to me when I needed them to. There are those out there that are dying to hear the word of God. And the preparations you make prepare that person to hear it. Jesus Christ is saying, prepare yourselves, for I am to die and rise again, and I will give you the fulfillment of the gospel and the scripture. A.B. Simpson is reported to have said that the gospel tells the rebellious man that God is reconciled, that justice is satisfied, that sin has been atoned for, that the judgment of the guilty may be revoked, the condemnation of the sinner canceled, the curse of the law blotted out, the gates of hell closed, the portals of heaven opened wide, the power of sin subdued, the guilty conscience healed, the broken heart comforted, the sorrow and misery of the fall undone. All of that comes from the preparations you make. And Jesus knew it and gave us His word. Then Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, we are going up to Jerusalem. And everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock Him. They will kill Him. And on the third day, He will rise again. May we be full in our preparations with the blessing of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I submit to You my will. I submit, Father, that You will remind me to prepare myself. That the name of Jesus, while we exalt it, is not exalted. But the name of Jesus still needs to be heard by everyone. Prepare us, Father, that we may try to live a little bit better and a little bit closer every day. That we may go forth from this day ready and anxious to talk of Jesus Christ. We know what horror awaits us to remind us to be in remembrance of. But we also know the joy that comes after. Prepare us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing the last hymn, the bench is open. The prayers can be left here. The blessings are yours to receive. God bless you.